It's exactly like the world today,
yeah.
As we'll see in all its detail, really. So God's saying he's got some charges to bring against Israel. This is what his accusations are. And he wants them to listen. And you know why he wants them to listen? It's because he wants them to change. That's the only reason God's telling them. But it looks like they're not likely to, doesn't it? The Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. And this is his charge. It's got three bits about it. There's no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. Just to break those down, no faithfulness means you can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody keeps their word, they say one thing and do something else. Yeah. That's what no faithfulness means. And no love means they're thinking of number self and number one and don't care about anybody else. So there's no sort of... The word for love there is that famous word, you know, the Hebrew word?
Agape.
No, that's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. The Hebrew word is chesed. Yeah, but it's more than love. It means covenant love. It means commitment. It means sticking to it, being true and faithful. So God's saying is, you can't believe what they say, and they don't stick to what their promises are because there's no heart in them at all. And the real cause of it all is verse at the end of the verse there. No, well, my translation says acknowledgement of God, but the word really is no knowledge of God. Yeah, they don't know God, and it means... It's not about knowing God like knowing who the Queen is or knowing who some famous person is. It's about personal relationship. They don't know God, and therefore faithfulness goes out the window. You know, don't tell anything, you say anything you like, and commitment and love, forget it. So, what a country, eh?
Mm. And a lot of that was because their forefathers hadn't passed down the information, you know.
Mm. They've been turning away for a long time, yes. There is only... Now, this is that's what wasn't there, and now we find out what is there. There's only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. It's a violent place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Stealing. Well, crimes have gone up, haven't they?
Yeah.
Well, this is, how many years BC? It is quite a few. Yeah. Still around, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Stealing, adultery, sexual sin, completely out of the, you know, going mad. Murder. How many died on the streets of London recently?
Five this week.
Yeah. So I'm saying nothing new. Yeah, and it says that they break all bounds. There's no limits. You know, they don't feel constrained by the law or how they ought to behave. No. Do what you like, basically.
They don't have any respect anymore.
No. And let that be a warning to our nation. You know what God did with this one?
Yep.
Kicked him out. Yeah. And then he says, because of all this, the land mourns. So God, and this is one of the things, particularly with Israel, rather than with the nations, the fate of the land was tied up with the spiritual life of the nation.
Mm.
Much more than I suppose you could say in our world. There are some parts of the world where everything looks really nice and yet the people are sinning as far as they can go, you know. With Israel, God tied the two together very closely. You disobey, the land will show its disapproval. And the land mourns. What's it mean by mourn there? That's my translation. Alternative is dried up. He could send a drought. Yeah? And... all who live in the land waste away because he's taken away the food supply.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Is God fair?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Tragedy is, you know, it's not just the people that suffer. It says, the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying.
Mm-hmm.
What did God make mankind for in the first place?
To look after
his creation. Yes, and when they're looking after themselves rather than his creation and worshipping the Lord, the creation suffers.
There was a program on last night about all the animals were dying.
All that
no grass.
Well, there's lots of animals dying through plastic, for the starters, or through their environment being destroyed.
Yeah.
The number of plant species and animal species is going down fast. We're wiping them out.
Yeah.
The fish of the sea are dying, certainly are. Not good, is it? And the cause is man's sin, ultimately. Yeah, that's the problem. Yes, yeah. Greed. Yeah. Now then, verse 4. Let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another. What's he on about there?
They're all the same.
They're all the same. But he's saying is, don't take anybody to court because you're as bad as the rest. You know, litigation. There could be in America, your lawyers everywhere. Let no man bring a charge, let no man accuse another. For your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. I don't know if you know what that means, but there's a stipulation in Deuteronomy. If you want to look it up, let's give you a verse to find, eh? It's Deuteronomy 17, verse 12. This is what he's referring back to. Deuteronomy. It's all good exercise, this. 17, verse 12. Yeah. It's all to do with the law courts and the judiciary. And verse 12 says, the man who shows contempt for the judge or for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God, must be put to death. How about that? If someone was abusive to the judge, if they had no respect for law and order, then in Moses' time, you get put to death. There's a death penalty for that type of cutting away the foundations of society. Well, we've gone a long way, haven't we? No respect for the police, no respect for the authorities, and some of them don't earn it either, but that's another story. Let no man bring charges against the priest. That's what he's saying, is don't start talking about making legal things because you're as bad as the rest and you've got no respect for law anyway. Verse 5, you stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So they are all
same.
Yeah, all stumbling in the sense that they've got, they don't know where they're going, I suppose, and they're not doing very well anyway. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. I will destroy your mother. Who's he talking about? I will destroy your mother.
He's talking about the country.
He's talking about the nation, yes. Talking about the north of Israel at this point in time. So the mother is the source of the people. So that's basically, he'll destroy the nation, and then he's going to talk about destroying the individuals in it. He says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge.
And that's true today, isn't it?
What lack of knowledge? We've got knowledge everywhere. You go Google and find anything you want. We've got knowledge all over the place.
It's knowledge of God.
Yeah. They don't know God, they don't know the Bible, they don't... I mean, you see that with the quiz programs. Not that I watch many. Yeah. But if you see them asking questions...
They never know the Bible.
Yeah, ask a Bible question, complete blank.
Yeah,
I can tell you, I could go into many an old folks' home and ask those questions and they'd all know the answers just like that.
Now who's in Love Island and all those...
All right, yeah. I'll get your word for it wrong, yeah.
He said he was watching a celebrity, you know, the one where they have to guess how many people have said something to a question. And the question was, what can you do in your relationship which will improve your romance, you said? And not one of them could get a right answer. I came out with having an affair. And there was something else, other things.
All unsuitable.
But, I mean, the thing is, having an affair makes
destroys
your relationship better. You know,
so my people,
it's the world.
And the tragedy, I don't know if you notice it, but the tragedy is, God says, my people, they're meant to be His. They belong to Him. He's made them, created them. He called them. He set them apart. He blessed them as a nation. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So there's a warning, brothers and sisters. And what's the root cause? I'm being simplistic in one sense, but what's the root cause of problems in society? They're spiritual. It's not the drugs. It's not the drink. It's not the immorality and everything else. The issue is they've lost lost the line with God, and as a result, like he says, no faithfulness, no truth, all murder, because the knowledge of God's gone.
They don't want to listen.
Sad to say, some don't. And for a lot of people, they've not got any chance to hear now. It's all been disconnected, isn't it? You Yeah. We don't do God, is what one of our politicians said.
Yeah, that's right,
yeah.
Labour.
Yeah.
I thought that was terrible on the news that was showing you the bomb firing somebody's garden and
heartless, isn't it?
They had a picture of Greenville and the children in the windows and
I couldn't
even look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad, that hard of heart, yeah?
Do not believe people to that.
Hmm. No. Well, I told you it was going to be a pleasant read, this one. Yeah,
yeah, well, we're living it every
yes.
day. Yeah.
So, verse 6.5, because you have rejected knowledge, that's what our brother said, they don't want to know, this particular group, because they've rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. He's talking to the priests now. And what was the priest's main job? Instruct the people about God's ways and laws. Yes, they were there to point people to the Lord. The priests, that was their job. Yes, they were the ones that were to set the example and also to be pointers to what God required. Well, I ask you a question, brothers and sisters, and I'm not being partisan or anything else, but if you looked at our religious leaders today, where are they pointing you?
In the wrong direction, right?
Yeah.
They interpret as they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not doing the job. And that was then, well.
And they're even getting them when they don't believe in the virgin birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, God says, you've rejected knowledge, you don't believe my word, the Bible, you don't believe that. I reject you. You're not my priest anymore. And I'll ignore your children. And who are their children? It's the people of the land again. It's the individuals, yeah. The more that, how about this? This is great. No, it's not great. The more the priests increased, the more they sinned against me.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Not too big for them, too.
Yes. It may come later, but I'll mention it now as well. But essentially, they were really pleased when people sinned in those times. You know why? Because they got paid for forgiving sins. You see? So, what you do is, a few more sins and I get a bit more cash out of you. Good, eh? And the sacrifices were the means of their being sustained and supported. So
you don't get that much, then?
Well, no. I don't encourage you sin, no.
I think about with the selling of Halloween stuff, how many people buy it, and how...
Yep.
I think, why does...
Yeah.
Go into this. Why do they
make the money?
Yeah, exactly. Because of that, I think
exactly.
It's not good.
Let me take you back several hundred years, though. What prompted Martin Luther to get upset and put his 95 theses on the church door? It was the sale of
indulgences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was a technical term for, if you pay up, your sins get forgiven. Yeah, that's the way it works, yeah. Yeah, that's how it was then, yes. It was all Catholic then, it wasn't Catholic or Protestant, it was all.
Yeah.
And basically, the bloke in charge was saying, we need some money, what we'll do is we'll flog a few forgivenesses, and one chap was actually heard to say, the moment the coin touches the bottom of the bucket, or whatever it is, you can see your sins fly away. Well, Luther took an objection to that, and from that thing stirred up. Yeah, but the priests are doing the same here. They're pleased that when you sin, as I say, you bring an offering and it feeds them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. Now, it's a hard one to translate this little bit of section. The way the NIV is translated is that they've swapped what they should have had, the glory of God, for something that's shameful. And Paul says that in Romans, you know. He talks about where in Romans chapter 1, he says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, but they exchanged the knowledge of God for idols and things to worship that are made like men and fish and animals and things. See, so they've turned what was their glory, the honour of being a priest to the living God, into something shameful. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, yeah? Right? And what have I written here? The alternative is, the alternative way of reading it is, not they exchange their glory, but I'll exchange their glory. Mm-hmm. That God says, and he says that earlier on in Hosea, he says, because they've left me out of it, I'll take their job away. Basically. I'll take their honour away, as he did, of course. Yeah. And this is the other verse. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they feed on them? Because when you sin and you bring your offering, they're getting their steak out of you sinning. It was meant to be forgiveness, but completely lost it, yeah. It will be like people, like priests. They're all going down together. I will punish both of them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. I wonder how they listen. Did they listen to this, I wonder? Some of them might have, but...
Yeah, I think, it was a warning, wasn't it?
It was a warning.
Hosea was a picture
yes.
of the idolatry that they were doing, wasn't it?
Well, let's carry on then and say it's not good, this. This is how God's going to punish them. They will eat but not have enough. Yeah, scarcity. Yeah. They will engage in prostitution but not increase. No, that's not going to work either. Yeah. Because they deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. And when he talks about prostitution, he means that literally, but also it's idolatry. The thing about Baal worship, although it wasn't Baal at this point in time, but the whole thing about Baal and Ashtaroth and all those, were they what they call fertility cults. Yeah? You thank God for providing the harvest, or their gods for providing the harvest, but the fertility cult soon got messed up with sex business as well, so it was a really old mess. Yeah. So what happens is they've deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution, to old and new wine, which take away the understanding of my people. Again. Yeah. How about that? What about the drink? Old and new wine.
Don't mix.
No. None of it mixes. But what are they doing? They're getting drunk, of course.
Yes.
On the drink. Well, that was the drugs then, but drugs do the same, whatever form they come in.
They had some strong drink.
Yes.
You said, well, it was a weak.
Most of the drinks they had, but I would imagine at the old cult festivals, they got the good homebrew out.
Yeah,
what do you call it?
Yes.
Yes, there's a beautiful verse in Ephesians 5, isn't it? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery.
Yeah.
Wasting is the sort of literal translation.
We also say, by taking their wine for something.
Ah, but that was a little wine for a little. Yes. Yes, and because the reason for that, of course, was
Paul.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the little wine. Why did Paul advise him to take a little wine for his stomach? This is Timothy. He was having problems with his stomach. Yes, a little wine would settle it. Why did he say wine though? This is true in the Middle Ages, by the way. People drank mead or beer.
Yeah.
Why? And they weren't to get drunk.
No.
Why did they drink the brew? Because the water could poison you. Yeah. Typhoid, you name it. Yeah. So, and water, if it's not fresh water.
I tried that a few weeks ago, it was brilliant. I tell you, that's
quite...
Two
bottles. Alright, okay. Send you on.
But it does work, believe me.
Okay.
Very much so.
Well, that was the point for Timothy. But here they're drinking to excess, of course, and it takes away your senses. He says, "Do not be drunk, don't be drunk with wine or that, but be filled with the Spirit."
Amen.
Yes. The interesting thing, a remarkable thing about alcohol, is that people think it's a stimulant, but it isn't a stimulant.
Yeah.
What it does is it knocks out the control centres,
yeah.
And therefore you're more free and easy. Or, substitute word for you need for stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to say to us, when drinks in, wits out.
Wits out, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Control centre's gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas the Holy Spirit, he enables you to live controlled. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got to verse 10 and a bit. A spirit of prostitution. Oh, no. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood.
In other words, I get no answer.
Not really, but the answer about it, it's a bit like throwing pieces of, you know, one of the things they had were different sticks of different length.
Yeah.
Wherever they fell, it was to guide them and all that sort of nonsense. Yeah. Stupid is the word. Yes. They consult a wooden idol and they'll get a wooden answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't work.
Oh, very good. Oh, dear. I mean, that was worth coming for, wasn't it? Right. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God. That's what it's about. And the spirit of prostitution, I would like to suggest, isn't just their mental attitude. It's demonic what's behind it. There is a demonic work going on, drawing the people away from God. Satan's doing it today. The rise of the occult in our country. It happens. You turn away from the Lord, and the devil takes advantage. It works. Now, they sacrifice on mountaintops. That was one of the places where they built their shrines and whatever. Why on mountaintops? Any idea?
Yes.
The wind is getting away with
it. The higher you go, the nearer you are to God.
Well, apparently not. It didn't do them any good, did it? That's what they used to think.
That's where Baalist did it,
didn't
it?
That's what they do. So what was the idea? Go to the mountaintops because you're nearer to God. It's more spiritual up there. Yeah, well, maybe not. And the other is they burn offerings on the hills, well, similar to that, under oak, poplar and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. So down in the valleys, they've got their little glades as well, where they have their little rituals and everything else. Therefore your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. So it's a complete mash of terrible stuff going on in society. No good, is it? So God's got a few charges to bring against them, and then he says this: I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery. Well, they're sinning
because the men go to them.
Because the men themselves consult with harlots and sacrifice with divine prostitutes.
If they didn't go, then they wouldn't.
Well, exactly. One of the terrible things I always read in the Gospels about the woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
She's dragged before Jesus in front of the crowd. There she is, made to be shamed. And she said, "We've caught her." And Jesus didn't ask the question.
No.
Where's the bloke then?
I thought that many times.
Well, he got a better answer. He was without sin.
They came out with a law in London that all the instead of arresting the prostitutes, they were arresting the men that was accosting the prostitutes. Because by clearing up the men, then there would be no prostitution.
Exactly.
Well, surely, Dennis, as well, I know it's about it, I suppose, obviously, but surely that's why, the breakup of the family, both in world wars, as my mum and dad said, and then breaking up since. I mean, because it was just some foster people as well, because of the breakups and lack of discipline. Even when they got a good foster parents, Christian foster parents, because of the social welfare system, they can't ground them, they can't touch, whatever they do, they've just got no.
There's no good input. There's no good input, and therefore you can't expect them to behave in anything other than being like animals, because that's how they've been brought up. What a shame. And this is it. A people without understanding will come to ruin. You can lay that down as a rule. If you don't know what you're up to, if you don't know God, if you don't get the right things, then you're going to mess up. Verse 15. Oh, we're doing well here, yes. Oh, we've got 10 minutes before you run away. Though you commit adultery, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. And he's obviously making a distinction between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. He's saying, the north has really gone off bad, but the south is holding on at the moment. And he says, don't let them go the same way. Don't let Judah become guilty like they are. And then he says this, so he's warning the people in the south, do not go to Gilgal, do not go up to Beth-Aven, and do not swear as surely as the Lord lives. What's going on there? What was it, Gilgal? This is Gilgal in the north, by the way.
I could say, because there's many Gilgals.
There's a lot, but this is a Gilgal in the north.
It's a place of worship.
It's a place where they put up their calves and things like that. It was a place of idolatrous worship, And what about Beth-Aven? There's no place called Beth-Aven, did you know that?
No. Not anymore.
No, it wasn't Beth-Aven then. Beth-Aven was the nickname. It was Beth-El. But they called Beth-El means house of God. Beth-Aven means house of sin. They renamed it. And what was it, Beth-El? The golden calf. And what did they do when they went there? They used to say, as sure as the Lord lives, they're calling on God and worshipping calves. Yeah, well, God doesn't take kindly to it, you can imagine, yes? And he says, don't, and so he's warning the Israelites, don't you go their way. That's really what it's about. The Israelites are stubborn, like a stubborn heifer. How about that? Well, this is farming language, but what's a stubborn heifer? Yeah, digs its heels in, I ain't moving. Yeah, that's right.
Like a donkey.
Well, donkeys, yes. We'd use that term, wouldn't we? But they've obviously seen enough heifers that were awkward, so to be honest. So they won't learn. That's the point. They won't learn. They refuse to be warned. And then we have, in my translation, how then can the Lord pasture them like lambs in the meadow? They won't learn, so what can he do for them? That's that translation. But there's another translation possible there. And cut the how off, because how is not in the original. Say something like this. The Israelites are stubborn like a stubborn heifer. The Lord will pasture them like lambs in the meadow. Now what does it mean then?
He will train them, get them calm.
Well, it's not a meadow with nice little field and nice hedge and all of that. No. What he's saying is they leave them like lambs in a wild place. Yes. Leave them to their own devices. That's the alternative way of seeing it. God says, I can't do anything for them. Just leave them to their own devices. And that's what he says next. We've got to it. It says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When God says that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, he's given up on you.
Yeah. You are in big time trouble. Ephraim, God says, they've passed the point of no return. They've joined to idols. And when it says joined, it means that, you know, they really are connected. It's not sort of a passing thing. It's part of them now. So leave them alone. What will cure them? My father-in-law used to have a great phrase. Maybe you've heard it. Hell mend you. Yeah. Hell will mend you. Yes. It will cure you. Fix you. Obviously he wasn't thinking about sending people to hell. But the idea being is, you know, you have made a bed. You will lie in it and you'll find out it's not as pleasant as you thought it was. It will make you start to think eventually. Should do anyway. And that's what was going to happen to Ephraim.
Wow.
God had to send them away, send them into exile in order to knock some sense into them. Terrible. And verse 18.
Prison cells to me.
Even when their drinks are gone, they continue their prostitution. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways.
Wow.
So even when the booze is run out, they're still carrying on.
Okay, about
it. And the rulers, what are the rulers meant to do? Lead them, guide them, protect them. And they're setting the example. And brothers and sisters, I'll just bring us back to today. What about leaders in society today? Yes. There was a time when someone was caught out, they would resign.
Yes.
Now they'll face you down.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh well, so leaders not leading. They love their shameful ways. Yeah. So God's final word on it is, for this chapter at least, we've got some more to come, by the way. This is not a pleasant book to read sometimes.
Uh-huh.
It will get better. But there are some bad things.
Hope the world does.
Yeah. Yes. A whirlwind will sweep them away, and their sacrifices will bring them shame. And the reason for that is, God says, I'll blow them away, that's what I'll do. But why do their sacrifices bring them shame?
Because there's only one sacrifice we can accept.
But why their sacrifices?
Idolatry.
It's idolatry. And this is the tragedy, brothers and sisters, in our world today. What purports to be Christianity is a mix of the world and the Bible, and it can't work. It doesn't work.
No.
So their sacrifices will just send them down quicker, basically. So there's only one. This is the positive bit, just to finish, just in time. What's the positive bit? The only answer to a society like that, what's the answer for Britain today? It's the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no alternative. People that have really gone down as bad as this, there's only one cure, and that's Jesus.
And I can see in that where God is saying, I won't blame your children. I think that's happening now, because I think in an awful lot of ways the children are turning, and they are asking questions,
yeah.
And we have to step up and answer those questions.
Well, Lord, do it, yes. Yeah.
Dennis, I think that's why the Lord keeps me reading Psalm 67.
What about the Lord renewing things, or?
Yeah, may God be gracious to us and bless us.
Yes.
And make His face shine upon us.
Well, let me offer you this. There's one. It's an encouragement to pray for revival in our country. That's the only answer. The gospel of Jesus making a big difference amongst people, and that's possible. And one encouragement I will give you is in the times just before the time of John Wesley and the Methodist revival, which saved our country from a French Revolution like they had in France. The revival saved the country. What happened at that time, before the revival, the king said, he says, I'm terribly... two things. He said, half of my bishops are atheists. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Half of my bishops are atheists. Mm-hmm. That's religious leaders. Mm-hmm. And the other one was, he says, on every corner of the street there's a gin house. The drugs were doing well. And the nation was changed by the gospel. Lord, we've read what a terrible state it was then, and Lord, our world's not any better, but Lord, thank you, the gospel still is the power of God to salvation. We pray for our nation. Lord, have in wrath, remember mercy, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.